frequent guest of the morning show, Senator Sherrod Brown. Good morning, Sherrod.
Hey, how are you? Good to be back.
I'm good to be back. Glad to be you'll be our senator for
a good long
time now here after making that decision. Just a little bit, if we could start, you know, what made you decide you think yourself you're best serving as a senator for Ohio as opposed to maybe getting a higher office at this point?
I never, as you know, I've known most of the listeners of this show for 20 years or longer, and many of you, and I never had this dream about being president of the United States, but this year after the November election, it occurs to me that increasingly Democrats don't talk to working families enough. I think Republicans, as particularly the man in the White House, have betrayed workers, but I don't think Democrats engage with working families enough. We set out on our Dignity of Work tour in the four early primary states and elsewhere to talk to workers and listen to them, and I made the decision. My goal was to change the narrative and get Democrats talking about the Dignity of Work. A number of them in the presidential campaign are doing it, but it's more than a slogan. It's who I am and how I think government should be conducted by looking through the eyes of workers and the dignity of work. And so this has been a success in that way. In the end, I think I can go back to the Senate and fight for these issues while I'm working to, you know, with Senator Portman to keep Lake Erie clean against the Trump budget. I can also work in the influencing the presidential race on dignity of work.
What did you learn from people outside our state? You know, you focus much because the Senator for Ohio, you see how we are in the Buckeye State. What about these other states and similarities or just new things you could bring back to your work in Washington through for Ohio?
Yeah, you first of all learn that people's problems are pretty much the same everywhere. But I also, in Laconia, New Hampshire, at a child care center, a woman who had been doing child care for decades said to me that she said the term child care should be a public good. You know, we invest in transportation, we fund city parks, we invest in all kinds of things, but we don't invest in children. I mean, we all know some people who have delayed having children because they can't afford child care. At the same time, the child care workers are not even paid a living wage in many cases. So it's how we so undervalue child care and so undervalue the opportunities we have to nurture and launch the next generation of children so that they're well-adjusted adolescents and productive adults, and we don't do that well enough. I saw lots of other things with homeless veterans and struggling workers in South Carolina and all the kinds of things that government needs. I mean, when I think about the money we spend on defense, President Trump just increased the defense budget, tried to way more than the Defense Department asked for, and then he underfunds veterans and homeless vets and vets who are suffering from mental illness. It's just shameful.
You mentioned the president's budget. You've gone on record opposing major parts of it. Let me ask you this just as a procedural thing. Does the House and Senate have to approve the budget to make it so?
Yeah, the House and Senate will write a budget. They will either take the president's budget. I think if the president's budget came to a vote in the Senate, it would be defeated 95-5 or something. There are very few Republicans that like it either, in part because it continues the tax cut for the rich, but it cuts Medicare, and so the wealthy will continue getting up to 80% of the benefits, the richest 1% of these tax law, and it underfunds Medicare, it underfunds Medicaid, it underfunds housing. And one of the things, for instance, that Senator Portman and I will work on, and President Trump tried this before, was to eliminate funding for Lake Erie for the Great Lakes Initiative, and that we can't stand for that. We all know if you live in Lorain County, you live near the lake, even if you live in Grafton, 15 miles off the lake, you understand how important the lake is and how vulnerable it is. It's the shallowest Great Lake by far of the five, and it's the most vulnerable to pollution and contaminants. And we need to be vigilant, not just to clean it up as we did 40 years ago, but to maintain the cleaning up of the lake. And the president seemed to have no interest in that. So Portman and I will organize bipartisanly among the Great Lakes senators to push back and fix that.
Obviously, it won't fly as is among Democrats in the House either. If there's no agreement on a proposed budget, what happens?
Well, there will be some. Nothing really happens in the end. Budget is not law the way that an appropriations is. It's a blueprint. But the House will pass something. The Senate will then work on something and come to compromise. I mean, we did that on the farm bill last year. The House passed a really wacko party line far-right farm bill. The Senate passed our bill with more than 80 votes. The conference committees got together, and we passed a really good farm bill with 88 votes, more than it ever gotten for a farm bill in the Senate before. It's good for family farmers. It's good for conservation. It's good for people that need help with food. That's good for rural development with rural broadband. So we did that bipartisanly. We can do this bipartisanly. It helps if the president's not involved because his views are so different from what we can come out of Congress with.
Senator, we appreciate your time this morning. I know you got a busy day ahead of you today.
Thanks. I'm glad to be back. Do it again.
Sure. Senator Sherrod Brown joining us this morning here at AM 930 WEOL.